found in Brother Cotton done read it, but I'll read it again. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. It don't last. Only inward beauty lasts. Unless you're in love. And if you're really in love, then you know the older they get, the prettier they get. It really don't matter. But the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Will you pray with me right now? Dear God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your kindness and your goodness. We ask you to help us today. Let this word of God sink deep in somebody's heart. Dear Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would help us today. Dear God, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I want to talk about seven women, seven mothers. Seven mothers that change history. Seven mothers that change history. They used to sing this when I was growing up, but I can't exactly remember the tune. I heard Sister Jones's mother singing it, but I can't exactly remember how it went. When I was a kid, they sung this every day. Song called Mother, but it was for, M was for the million things you done for me.
Yeah.
O is that you're only growing old. That might be fighting words to some women. T is for the tears that you shed for me. H is for the heart as pure as gold. E is for the eyes with love light burning. R is for right, and right she'll always be. And there's a little caption underneath that. Said, who would dare to say any different? So that you put all of them together, and that's mother. My mother, if your mother is living today, I would encourage you, if you can't get to her, give her a call. Because all of us that's lost our mother. And my mother's been gone for nearly over 20 years now. And I'm not able to call her. Then women that I did call through the years. My grandmother. And I had two aunts that I called. And different ones. And one by one, you know, when you get to be my age, they pass on. So you don't need to be so busy. Give them a call today and let them know that you're thinking about them. And in case that they wasn't everything that they ought to have been. It was her that got you here. And if it hadn't been for her, you wouldn't be here. So when it says, honor thy father and mother, they may not have done a lot of things to be honorable about. But you can honor them. Because if it hadn't been for them, you wouldn't be here. So even if everything is not maybe like you'd want it to be or should have been, you all thank them for your very existence. I want to talk about seven mothers that changed history. Seven mothers that changed history. I hope I can get through all of these. So I'm not going to take very long on any of them. Boy, there's so many wonderful women in the Bible. To pick from. So I just kind of had to pick four or seven women. First one I want to talk about is Rebecca. Rebecca. You know, Rebecca had a spiritual sensitivity that really Isaac didn't have. Isaac was the promised seed. Isaac was the promised son. You know, but when there was something about Rebecca and carrying those children in her womb. You know, God said, you know, there's going to be two nations in you. Going to be two manner of people in you. And I want you to know that the older is going to serve the younger. Well, she believed what God said. Not that she did not love Esau, because she did love Esau. But she knew destiny was in Isaac's life. Jacob I love and Esau have I hated. And there was, of course, God said that years after they were done dead when God said that. But Jacob had a lot of things that wasn't wonderful about him. He had traits that were not very good. Even his very name, the word Jacob means to be surplanter. You know, y'all not name your kids names after folks that are not very wonderful, just in case they'd follow their path. Well, praise the Lord. But his name was Jacob. That means surplanter. In everyday English language, that means crook. She named her son Crook. So every time she said, Jacob! Crook! But even though that was his name, Rebekah knew the promise. Esau was a man's man. He was a hunter. I mean to tell you, he was a hunter. Jacob got old and his eyes got dim. Oh, Esau said, Dad, I'm going to get you some of that venison that you like so much. He made his way to go hunting, and oh, Rebekah heard him and got old Jacob aside and said, come here. He's getting ready to bestow the birthright. And I've not been able to make him see that it don't belong to Esau. Although it should belong to Esau, him being the firstborn, but it belongs to Jacob. It belongs to Jacob because God said it belongs to Jacob. Come over here. Do you talk about a cook? When you cook goat up and make it taste like venison, you is a cook, I'm telling you, praise the Lord. And well, she cooked that up and had that all spiced up. And Jacob said, hey, Mom, this not going to work. When I go in there, he's going to feel me. And, you know, my arms are smooth and Jacob is hairy. So old Rebekah said, oh, that ain't nothing, I'm Mama. She got got some fur and put on there. And old Jacob went in the room and said, here's your venison. And Isaac said, you know, come over here. Said, you feel like Esau. But said, you sound like Jacob. But man, when he dived into that delicious dish that Mama Rebekah fixed, he said, come here, boy. Ooh. I can see the gravy running down his chin. Come here, boy. He slapped his hands on him and said, here's the blessing. And old Rebekah's behind the kid. Not that she didn't love Esau, but she was spiritual sensitive. And she knew the voice of God. Thank God for mothers that are spiritually sensitive. That instill that sensitivity into their kids. That's number one. Can you say number one? And the second woman that changed history was a prayer warrior by the name of Hannah. And she wasn't able to have children, and she's seeking the Lord. Said, oh God, if you'd just give me a child, if you'll give me a child, I will lend this child to you. And God heard Hannah's prayer. And the old priest wasn't too spiritual. He is in there and all he did was sustain the flesh she's in there praying and her lips are quivering. He said, get up and get out of here. He said, you're drunk. Oh, sometimes when you get in the spirit of prayer, gets a hold of you. She said, count me not as a drunken daughter of Belial. And then Eli said, it's been hid from me that your grief. I tell you what, the Lord's heard your prayers.
Yeah.
And about this time next season, you're going to have a boy. And that boy's name was Samuel.
Yeah.
That anointed Saul to be king. That anointed David to be king. That heard from the Lord all those days of his life. Such a godly man. Samuel changed history. But he changed history because he had a praying mama that would not take no for an answer. Thank God for praying mothers. Thank God for mothers that pray intense prayers, burden prayers, intercessory prayers, supplicating prayers. We got guys that were backsliders in this house. Wasn't living for the Lord. But they couldn't outrun their mother's prayers. Couldn't outrun their grandmother's prayers. They prayed for them. Oh, Hannah changed history. Rebecca's one, and Hannah is two. Now this woman here is named Naomi. She was an obedient woman. Really, I don't think it was in her heart to leave the promised land and go into Moab. But she was submissive to her husband. They sojourned out in Moab, and it wasn't very long till her husband died. Then her sons married. And both sons died. She's left with two daughter-in-laws. One of them's name is Orphan. And the other's name is Ruth. And she heard that God had visited the promised land again, and she decided that she was going to go back home. So she told them, Ruth and Orpha, I'm going back home. Going back home where I belong. She was a mother-in-law that became a mother. She had lost her natural sons. But she became a mother to her husbandless daughter-in-laws. And as she's getting ready to make her journey, well, if you got a good godly mother-in-law, you ought to thank the Lord for it. Amen. Because they're responsible for the husband that you have, for the wife that you have. And this Naomi said, they said, we're going to go with you. They said, no. You need to stay here with your people. Said, you know, I have no more sons in me. And if I was able to have sons, would you wait around? No. You need to stay here. And Orpha said, Bob said, Orpha kissed her and bid her goodbye. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people. And thy God shall be thy God. And wherever you die and are buried, that's where I will be. So these two ladies make their way into the city. The city's moved at the sight of Naomi. And they're rejoicing. Naomi's home. Naomi's home. Naomi's home. And if you're a backslider today, this little indention is for you. Naomi's home. She said, call me no more, Naomi, for I left this house full. But call me Mara, for I've left full, but I've came empty. The Lord has dealt bitterly with me. There was another woman in here that's called Providence. Her name is Divine Providence. That's working along with Naomi. Because the Bible said that Ruth went to work. There was no sons to take care of Naomi. So Ruth went to work in the field. And the Bible said her hap was, or just like it was by accident, she winds up in Boaz's field. How many knows that wasn't no accident? She's out there gleaning in the field. No Boaz comes by and his eye jumps out on his stem. And who is this woman here? Said, well, that is Naomi's daughter-in-law. Her husband is dead. So he calls them guys around and he said, hey, fellas, you make sure some handfuls on purpose falls by the side. Hey, then he said, and hands off. Hands off. I've got other plans for this woman. And man, Naomi comes back. She's got 6 measures of barley. Ruth came back, 6 measures of barley. And Naomi said, well, where'd you get all this at? He said, well, this guy that's over my field, I saw him talking to the guys. And they said, what's his name? His name is Boaz. He said, the Lord is surely with thee, because he is our kinsman. And he's able to redeem us. That was the custom that time. If a man's wife died, then the nearest kin could redeem them and raise up children, you know, in their name. And they had to purchase them. And I can see old Boaz kind of saddling up to old Ruth during these days. How you doing? Is everything all right? And he was in love. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in love at first sight. Well, you'll have to talk to somebody else. My wife was 14 years old and I fell in love with her. But I couldn't marry her. She was too young, man, praise the Lord. So I waited for several years. Amen. She was almost 19 when we married. I was 24. Amen. So I fell in love. And that's what Boaz did. Oh, Boaz fell in love. Oh, when he laid down on his bed at night, he's thinking about Ruth. When he's doing his jobs, he's thinking about Ruth. Ruth's in his skin. Ruth's in his mind. Ruth is in his heart. Ever thought of Ruth? 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 Well, I ain't felt that way. Well, you may not have been in love, praise the Lord. But that love gets a hold of you. When that love bug bites, it gets a hold of you.
That's right.
And that love bug can bit old. So he sends Ruth home and said, I've got some things I need to do. She comes home and Naomi said, don't worry. Don't worry. He said, boy, I said, I was looking out the window and I seen him looking at you. And said, he will not rest
right
until he has done all that has to be done. Only problem was, there was another guy that was closer kin than he was. So man, they went down to the marketplace and he said, will you redeem Naomi? Oh, yeah, I'll redeem Naomi. He said, now, if you do, you have to purchase Ruth the Moabite for a wife. His mind is going, gling, 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 gling. Said, if I do that, all my kids are going to be mad at me. And my wife's going to be mad at me. No, I'm not going to mar my inheritance. I'm not going to do it. And, you know, if he would have done that, he may have wound up in the lineage of Jesus. But he said, no. Old Boaz said, I am redeeming Naomi, and I am purchasing Ruth to be my wife. Praise the Lord. Now, if that's not a little thrilling, Ruth, I think Ruth beget. I think there's one between there. But here comes Jesse. Oh, goodness sake alive. Well, to get your blessing, you got to go through a trial. You understand what I'm saying? Boy, you know, she was discouraged when she named him Obed. Obed! All of this for Obed. But if you hang on, you get grandkids with that. Then Obed, and then Jesse, and then David. Now, she winds up in the Lord's lineage, the Lord's family tree. All because she had a mother-in-law. She had a godly mother-in-law. So we've got Rebecca, and we've got Hannah, and we got Naomi. What is that? Rebecca, Hannah, and Naomi. That's three, right? All right. Then I'll just pick one up out of here. That'd be your least likely. And that's old Rahab. Now, you know, it don't look like that Rahab would be up here in this distinguished group. Because everybody knows her profession, huh? Oldest profession in the world. Remember them two spies showed up on her doorstep. She said, business is picking up. Praise the Lord. And they knocked on the door and they were spies. And the Lord said, and old Rahab, they begin to tell Rahab the story about the children of Israel's God. So we didn't know about your God. Nobody can stand before your God. Brother, they made an instant convert out of that heart. You know, God generally just, you know, God is not one to remind you of folks' past. So when you see their past remembered in the Bible, then you need to know that there's a reason for that. And in all three times in the New Testament, when Rahab is mentioned, it always says, Rahab the harlot. Not because God was holding that against her. But God wanted to send us a message. It don't matter where you've been and where you came from and what you've done. If you put that scarlet thread out the window, you can save yourself and you can save your house. And you know what happens to Rahab? She gets in the genealogy of Jesus. She's Boaz's mama. She stuck that. I don't care. I believe it. Somebody said, that's crazy. Stick that thread out the window. I believe them. I believe them. Brother, when the time for the wall, you know, the Bible says the walls fell flat. And all the houses was in the walls, Brother Thad. Can you imagine that wall, the wall falling flat and the only house or piece of wall in the city, it was saved by a scarlet cord. Because that was what the scarlet cord stood for. I'm going to tell you what, this world's house is getting ready to fall. Y'all hear me that's here today and you're unsaved and you're not ready to meet the Lord. You better get in the house. You better get in the house where the blood is. Because he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass. There's no safety anywhere. You're not going to find it in money. You're not going to find it in education. You're not going to find it in sin. You're not going to find it in being a good son or a good daughter or a good good or a good parent. The only safe place is in the blood. They said, anybody you can get in that house, anybody you can get in that house is going to be saved from the judgment. Oh, we're trying to get, mama's trying to get you in the house. Your family member's trying to get you in the house. They're not trying to spoil your fun. They know judgment is coming. You may be having fun now, but you're not going to be having fun when the judgment falls. You're going to be crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on you and hide you from the face of Him that is to come. Because there is a payday, and the wages of sin is death. And but old Rahab said, "You know, man, I believe what you're saying. Huh? I got faith in that blood." Said, "How do I do that today? You do that by repenting of your sins, being baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and allowing God to fill you with the mighty Holy Ghost. That puts the blood on the house. Then if you have done that and you got away from God and got out of the house, go running. What you running, so I'm running to the house. I hear the storm clouds coming. In Oklahoma City, when the sirens went off, you know, and the warnings went off, if you had time, you was running to the storm shelter. It wasn't safe in the bank. It's not safe in the hotel. Amen. It's not safe in the apartment building. It's only safe in the storm shelter. And I'm telling you, the storm is coming. The storm is on the horizon. And the only safe place is in the house that has the blood. You can ride the thread out of here. And there was a wise woman who had been a wicked woman. But she realized the message. Married Solomon and became the mother of Boaz. So we got Rebecca, and we got Hannah, and we got Naomi, and we got Rahab. Here was a young lady. They had been pulled down into the land of the Ur of the Chaldees. And the king is hunting a wife. His other wife had displeased him. And he put her away. And he's hunting for a wife. And all of these women are in training. I'm going to tell you what. Thank God for moments. You need to realize your destiny. You need to realize your moments of destiny. This was a moment of destiny. This girl just hanging around the house, and her uncle says, "Hey, you come here. You are getting in this contest." You know, the Bible said that somehow or another, Mordecai was a friend of the eunuch. He said, "Now, you see him? He knows old King Ahasuerus. He knows what he likes. He knows the smells that he likes. He knows the look that he likes. You listen to him, and he'll get you ready." I think it was right out of a year. It was 6 months, I think it was, in certain bathings that they done. Boy, and when all them women lined up, they're all diked out. And old Ahasuerus, some of them may have looked like they was going to star on the stage there at Vegas or some big star, but the old king's looking. And Miss Providence walks in the room. "Come here, Jordan. I'll let you be the old king. Looking for a wife." Oh, glory to God. Well, that's good. We ain't wanting to want a husband. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? A It's something when a man's running around talking about his husband. You know, that's... Glory to God. So all them beautiful women are all lined up there. And Miss Providence goes... He's saying, he's like, oh, Adam. That's where the Bible said God put Adam asleep, took out a rib, made him a wife, brought it to him. And the Bible says she's called woman. Where that comes from? Well, this is not the original Hebrew. This is the original Hebrew. He said, wow! That's where you got woman. Praise the Lord. Sweet. And he sees her. He goes, wow! His heart just... He's breathing hard. He's sweating. His palms are sweaty. He said, woo, who's that? If old Haman would have been there, he said, hey, you don't want her. She's a Jew. You don't want she's a Jew. I Jew. I do the Jew. Praise the Lord. I've always liked Jews. Jews. So he chooses her. And she becomes his wife. Oh, Haman hates Jews. So, he talked so Ahasuerus, who is a wicked king. He's going to make a proclamation to kill all the Jews. And Mordecai hears about it. And the folks are fasting. And oh, Mordecai makes an appointment, sees Esther. Look here. Haman is getting ready to kill, make a proclamation. He's done got it approved by Ahasuerus. And all of the Jews are going to be killed. And do not think you're going to escape. And here's what he says. Just perhaps that you was born for such a time as this. Go see him. She said, I can't. He's in court. And anybody that walks into the court without being granted permission, according to the law, would die. He said, well, you're going to die anyhow. I can see her as she's walking the floor. She's all worried. She gets herself all prettied up. And she don't walk into the court. She just stands at the door. And while old King Ahasuerus is doing all of his due diligence that kings do, he catches a glimpse of her in the door. And the Bible said he stretched forth his scepter. You know, the law said she couldn't come in there. Not God's law, the law of the Medes and the Persians. The law said she couldn't come in there. But you know what? There's a greater law than the law. A greater law than the law is love. And what the law of the Medes and Persians forbade, the law of love made it stretch forth. You want to give an example of that? We caught this woman in adultery, in the very act. And the law says, stone her. What do you say? Well, he writes on the sand, whatever he writes, I don't know. And they... And the law that is above the law that is called love said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And he holds that scepter out. And she begins to plead the case. She said, I found something in a book here that you need to read. Said, there was an attempt that was made on your life. And one man heard about it and told the guards and spared your life. His name was Mordecai. He said, well, what has been done to honor this man? Nothing. Next thing you know, Mordecai's got a crown on him, got a new robe on him. Amen. He's riding on a white horse, and everybody's saying, Mordecai, he's our man. If he can't do it, nobody can. And old Haman's sitting there, mad. And so the queen's alone by herself. And old Haman's going to have his last say. And old Haman walks in there, and just like women can do, she screams, and guards come in and say, wait a minute, that guy there's trying to molest me. So that gallows that he had built out there for old Mordecai, you got that afternoon, and Haman was hanging there. And all that was because of Esther. She was a woman of destiny. Rebecca, Hannah, Naomi, Rahab, Esther. I got the sixth woman. And her name is Mary. And she's a virgin. And she's out of the tribe of Judah. The household of David. And one night an angel appears. Said, blessed art thou, Mary. Thou art highly favored among women. Said, the power of the highest shall come upon thee, and the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and thou shalt bear a son. How can I do this thing, not knowing a man? The Holy Ghost is going to do it. And that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Boy, you want me to show you the difference between this woman's faith and the faith of someone that was supposed to have faith? Zechariah was a priest. He's in there in the temple, and he meets the angel Gabriel, and he said, how can these things be? And he spoke none. Since he was a priest, he knew all about Sarah. Yes, he did. He knew all about Rachel. He knew all about Manoah's wife. And those women in the Bible that God gave a miracle to. And they had, he had no excuse. But yet, he didn't believe. But here was a little old maiden that didn't have the schooling of the priest. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. And she kept it in her heart. And 9 months later, the Savior of the world came into existence. But another Catholic Church makes a mediator out of her, but there's only one mediator, one God and one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. Won't do you no good to pray to Mary. Mary's in the graveyard waiting for the resurrection till all the rest of them get up. But I thank the Lord for Mary. I'm afraid if we're not careful as Pentecostals, you know, we can throw the baby out with the bathwater and she won't get any honor at all. But Jesus got here because he had a mother by the name of Mary. The prophet, way back in Genesis, God said, God told the devil, I put in him between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. Way back there in Genesis 3. Then Jeremiah got in the spirit. Said the Lord will do a new thing. A woman shall compass a man. And Isaiah said, behold, the Lord shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. In all eternity hinged on this woman that carried this baby in her womb. And after it was born, she took care of it just like every mother takes care of a baby. She nursed it. She changed its diapers. Can I use my imagination a little bit? She is saying, "Say, Mama. Say, Mama." He's looking out at him. Woman, if you only knew. I've been saying Mama ever since I made Eve. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hold that, baby. Hold that. Hold that. That's Mama's hand. Hold that. Hold that. Hold that. Yeah. I've been holding this world into existence ever since I made it. Mary. Mary. Is that all of them? How many do you have, huh? Huh? Do I have any more? Ain't that all of them? Do I have any more? Huh? Huh? Do I have one more? Did I say six? You may have seven. So I've got to have one more besides this. Let me see. There's Rebecca and Hannah and Naomi and Esther, Rahab, Mary. That's six. That's what it said, wasn't six? Did it say six? I didn't say six. I said seven. Well, then I'll give you the seven. Paul, in an allegory, in the fourth chapter of Galatians, talks about a covenant that comes from Mount Sinai. And he calls that the bondswoman. Then he talks about a covenant that don't come from Mount Sinai, and he calls her the free woman. And he says, we are not children of the bondswoman. We are children of the free woman. And in verse 26, he identifies her. He said, but Jerusalem, which is free, who is above all, is mother of us all. So that seventh woman, is called the church. She is going to be his bride. Brother, one of these days when the marriage takes place, when that wedding takes place, and the angels play the wedding march. Brother Smith, think about it. All them Old Testament saints are standing there, but they're not there to be married. They're standing there as guests. Whoever saved in the millennial reign, they're all standing there. But they're standing there as guests. Sister Murphy, won't you crank that wedding march up for me? Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, Jonah, David, Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. Ain't you glad you're in a safe place? Praise the Lord. You know that. Boy, I've done dozens of these. Everybody, here the groom is standing there. And if he's like old Tyler, he's just shaking and crying, praise the Lord. And brother, he's seen her. But brother Tyler, it wasn't the same, was it? When she came out of that with that long, white, beautiful dress, and her father was there at her side. Every eye. They're not looking at Tyler. Because Tyler's not the star of the show. In that ceremony, that wife is the star of the show. That sound, that... all the eyes of eternity and the angels are going to look. And walking down that aisle, she's clothed in white, washed in the blood, which is the righteousness of the saints. Mother of us all! Are you thankful for the church? It was there to pray with you. It was there to encourage you. It was there to sustain you. My. I remember I was praying this morning, getting ready for this class. Come in church, 11-year-old boy rolled the bus to come. Mom didn't want me to come. I had a wonderful mother. She just didn't have no desire for truth, but I loved her. She was a good mother. But, you know, I kind of had to get myself ready because she didn't want me to come. You can imagine how it is for 11, 12-year-old boy trying to get himself ready. We were poor. Them little old godly mothers in that church, I'd come in and they'd part my hair right. They'd get the little handkerchief out and wipe behind my ears. They'd spray me some of their perfume on me. Evidently, I stunk. Praise the Lord. But the church has been there for me, Brother Smith. Praying dads and praying moms. Through my storms and my trials. Yes, the Lord has been there. But I couldn't see Him. I couldn't feel Him. My spirit could feel Him. But my body couldn't feel Him. But I'm going to tell you what. There are going to be times in your life. Thank God for the Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. But I thank God for saints of God. Put their arms around you. I'm praying for you. You're going to make it. You're going to be a survivor. I know you're going through a trial. You're going to make it. You're going to survive. When I sinned and failed and hit the altar, and I was asking God to forgive me, there'd be arms going around me. Help Steve through this. Help Steve through this. Solomon said, receive the instructions of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Oh, I thank the Lord for this wonderful, glorious church. Can you raise your hands and love Him? Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. If you don't think He loves this church, you need to read the Song of Solomon. He tells her, thy countenance is comely. Thy voice is sweet. Before you find fault, he said, and there is no spot in thee. Finally, one day, he's in the narration of that story. He's outside the window. And he says, come away, my fair one, my love. And he takes him home, takes her home with him. Oh, thank you, Lord. I thank God for this seventh woman called the church. Can you raise your hands and love Him? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your precious body, Lord, for your wonderful people.